Hello and welcome to the Lancet Global Health Podcast. I'm Mandeep Aujla. It's the 19th February 2020 and today I'm talking to Dr. Andreas Alger, a surgeon at the Stockholm South General Hospital and researcher at the Karolinska Institute in Sweden, about his recently published paper, a randomized control trial comparing negative pressure wound therapy with standard treatment in civilian patients suffering from acute conflict-related extremity wounds. Thank you for joining us, Andreas.
Thank you for having me.
So injuries caused by airstrikes or explosive weapons are a leading cause of disability and death in countries affected by ongoing armed conflicts. Sadly, contemporary wars have seen a rise in the toll on civilians. A study published in The Lancet Global Health in 2018 showed that 70% of direct violent deaths in the first 6 years of the Syrian civil war were among civilians. Although the basic principles of wound management are the same all over the world, caring for those wounded by weapons is complex and often complicated by infections. The diagnostic and therapeutic possibilities in unstable and poorly resourced conflict situations are very different to those in civilian settings. Andreas, in your study, you compare two types of treatment for conflict-related wounds. Can you briefly describe what the current gold standard treatment involves and how the alternative, negative pressure wound therapy, differs?
In our study, we focused on conflict-related extremity wounds, and the gold standard for these wounds include surgical debridement to remove contaminated tissue and devitalized tissue, and then you repair vital structures and stabilize fractures, and then after this primary surgery, a dressing is applied that aims to absorb fluid and protect the wound from any further contamination. And then the wound is left open until reassessment in the operating theater after 3 to 5 days. And if possible, that time you do a delayed wound closure. So for negative pressure wound therapy, this is an alternative treatment where you, after the first surgery, dress the wound with a solid foam and it's covered with a plastic film. And then negative pressure is applied, and this aims to drain the wound from excess fluid and blood and reduce swelling and to promote wound healing. The wound is then followed the same way as for the standard treatment with reassessment in the operating theater after 3 to 5 days.
So the evidence on the effectiveness of negative pressure wound therapy is mixed, and findings from high resource settings can't easily be extrapolated to conflict situations. Can you tell us what your study adds to the literature and what this means in practice?
Yeah, systematic reviews of randomized controlled trials comparing negative pressure wound therapy with standard treatment have been inconclusive, both regarding healing rate and the risk of infection. And for traumatic extremity wounds, just a few comparative trials have been performed, and all of them from non-conflict settings. So this is the first trial assessing the use of this technique in the treatment of blast and gunshot wounds. And we found that negative pressure wound therapy did not reduce time to wound closure, nor the incidence of wound infection. And as this evidence does not support negative pressure wound therapy for these wounds, clinicians treating such injuries should use the standard treatment.
Okay, so conducting a randomized controlled trial during peacetime in a low resource setting is difficult. And obviously very little research has been carried out in or close to active conflict situations. Can you talk us through the challenges you faced when carrying out this trial in two civilian trauma hospitals in Iraq and Jordan?
Yeah, firstly, the ethical aspects, of course, needs to be considered, and performing research in vulnerable populations like this, and need to do a thorough risk-benefit analysis before initiating the project. In terms of challenges, we had some challenges regarding patient enrollment. At times there were sudden influx of high numbers of wounded patients, and often with complex injuries. Also the transfer of information is a challenge. And at times there was limited access to the hospital, both for patients and for us researchers.
So in the conclusion of your study, you question the tendency for new and expensive treatments to be introduced into these resource-poor settings without the supporting evidence for their effectiveness. Now that you've successfully completed this trial and knowing the challenges involved in generating strong evidence, what advice would you give to others who are setting out to test the effectiveness of an intervention in a similar real-world setting?
Well, firstly, thorough planning. And in the planning phase, you need to base the decisions on first-hand information. So travel to the study site, talk to the patients, spend time with the doctors and nurses. And in our case, the idea to test this specific treatment method for wound treatment came from the surgeons at the hospital in Aramtha in Jordan. And this proved to be a major advantage when seeking acceptance for this type of project, which relates to or requires advocates at the study sites, especially when I, as the primary investigator, most of the time was on another continent. And then a strong research team, if possible, would link to local academia. In our case, we did the study in cooperation with Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders, and together with the Jordan University of Science and Technology in Erbil and the Howler Medical University in Erbil, Iraq. Then you need, of course, dedicated study nurses. After all, they are the ones engaged in the day-to-day challenge of enrolling the patients into the study. And pragmatic study design is a key, I would say. We use just a few clear inclusion and inclusion and exclusion criteria, and our proceedings were free of computers and everything paper-based. And continued supervision, regular visits, but most important are the local healthcare workers and researchers. I mean, they're the greatest assets for the project and should, together with the patients, benefit the most from the research.
Okay, great. So finally, what do you think needs to be done next to improve trauma care for civilians who are caught up in armed conflict situations?
Well, there is a lot to be done in terms of research. The evidence base needs to be improved for this vulnerable population. And this includes pre-hospital management, access to healthcare, functional outcome, rehabilitation. And these areas all in need of further investigation, I'd say.
Okay, thank you, Andreas. It was a pleasure to have you on the podcast. And thank you for listening. If you'd like to know more, you can find the full study online in the latest issue of The Lancet Global Health.